Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, you know, we got to make sure we have the best plays called. And I think that always starts with me. I want to be sure that we always have the best things. And we got to make sure that we're giving the ball to our playmakers, whether it's, a Cortland, a Javonte, Melvin, any of those guys. And, I just want to be sure that we're continually getting the right schemes for down there and then executing it properly.
Nathaniel Hackett talking at length yesterday, and taking responsibility, much more somber, reserved Nathaniel Hackett yesterday, not pure energy, but talking about the idea that the communication needs to be sharper, that it's kind of bogging down. So where's the kink in the hose, you know? Where's it coming from? Is it coming from the stuff that's being relayed to him from upstairs? Is it between him and Russ? Where is it bogging down?
Well, I think it probably bogs down when it gets to him. So it comes from upstairs. I mean, I think, you know, the operation is the operation, and I think, you know, there's a different aspect to it. We talk about this all the time. Is when you're a play caller, you're just calling plays. So, hey man, like Kyle Shanahan in the Super Bowl, right? Dude, at some point, you're like, hey, man, we're aggressive. I'm going to lean on the side of being aggressive. At some point, the coach is going to come to you and say that the play caller or the head coach is going to say, hey, man, let's slow this game down. Let's bring it to a grinding halt, right? Let's play a little four-minute offense type thing here, right? And let's make sure that we're maximizing. So as a play caller, you may not be thinking about that. Now, as a head coach, you've got to think about, as a head coach slash play caller, you've got to think about, okay, what's the best play here? But what situationally, what's the best option for? So I want to get the best play in, but I also want to say, okay, I need to, you know, milk the clock, or I need to do this. So I think sometimes, you know, maybe from upstairs, you get whatever information you're getting, then you're processing, go, okay, I want the best play, but you got to make sure I got this. And then by the time you relay it to the quarterback, instead of there being 24 seconds on the clock, you know, there's 8 seconds on the clock. So I think that's probably where that's happening, and I think it's understandable. But it doesn't make it okay. It's understandable, but you got to fix it. They can't operate that way, because you'll just keep losing games.
Next and four down.
Second down.
Tannehill moving from left to right, looking to throw. Passes intercepted by Matt Milano along the numbers of the near side. Inside the 20, the 15, the 10, into the end zone. It's all Buffalo Bills. They lead it 40-7 here in the third quarter.
Ryan Tannehill still hasn't gotten over what happened in the playoffs last year. He admitted to going to a dark place after that playoff performance, and does not look like he's reemerged. As Tennessee's now 0-2, facing an elimination game already this week against Vegas, who's also 0-2. And Mark, you know, you look at the schedule, and the way you looked at teams early on, maybe you don't look at the same way. San Francisco, I certainly don't look at the same, now that Jimmy G's the quarterback, as I did expecting Trey Lance to be the guy. You look at that London trip to Jacksonville now. That doesn't look like a cupcake.
But yeah, you're right. You're right.
But then after the bye, you go to Tennessee, and suddenly Tennessee doesn't look nearly as formidable.
Right.
I mean, Tennessee could basically be, well, I don't think they'll really be ever eliminated because of the division they play in.
Yeah, that could be one of those 9-8 teams wins that division.
So actually, next week for Tennessee is not an elimination game.
It is kind of for the Raiders, though, right?
It is for the Raiders. Raiders can't go 0-3. You can't go 0-3 and think you're going to climb back in this division.
Right.
No way. Good luck with that.
Speaking of which, Raider fan is fairly quiet right now, right? Remember how much they crowed during the preseason about all the additions they made?
Yes.
Davante Adams.
Been very quiet.
They've gotten very, very silent.
Blissful silence. Love it. Yeah. The silence is music to my ears. Next and four down.
third down.
Third and goal from the 9. Shotgun snap. 5 wide. Arching spiral in the corner of the end zone. Intercepted. Slay! The Eagles have picked off Cousins for a third time.
Westwood won there with the call. So what was the biggest takeaway from yesterday? Philly, forget about being the best team in the NFC East, might be the best team in the NFC. That, or is it what is wrong with Kirk Cousins in primetime games? What is this guy's phobia?
Yeah, he is not a creature of the night.
No.
Does not like night games. Night games either, Mike. I was not a night game guy.
Too much time to sit around and worry all day.
Right.
Right.
Way too much time. But with that said, I did not go out in a night game and take a giant dump in my helmet either. So, at least I have that going for me.
Yeah, didn't like it, but at least you didn't dump in your helmet.
Right.
That'll do it for Four Down Territory. Oh, one more other note. The Rockies losing yesterday. Just a friendly reminder that as the season winds down, they're still losing games in Rocky fashion. Had a lead 7-5 going to the top of the ninth, blew it, and then lost 10-7 in extra innings. So
the king is here.
That'll do it. No, we got the story out. Four downs, four stories. No need for Marquette. That is Four Down Territory. Coming up next, later on this hour, about half an hour from now, 40 minutes from now, Brock Huard will join us, our Russell Wilson whisperer. But up next, so after everything that you just described with what's going on with Nathaniel Hackett, does he need to step away from play calling?
Ooh.
That's next.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Brock, you are joining us coming up in about 30 minutes right after What's Trending. So Nathaniel Hackett, high points for honesty and saying, sure, I got to be better.
Sure.
Good. But is part of that being better, at least maybe for the short term, relinquishing play calling duties? The idea being, let me get this head coaching thing, game management thing, overall big picture thing down first before I go back to calling plays.
Here's the problem with that. I think there's two things. I don't think that Justin Allen's ever called plays. So,
yeah, you don't have Gary Kubiak waiting in the wings.
Right. Are you stepping into stepping out of the frying pan and into the fryer, so to speak? And I think that's a legit concern. So that would be one. And this is almost like, at what point do we go to our rookie quarterback? Right? Because as teams always tell you, once you cross that threshold, there's no going back. Once you've made that decision, hey, Mitch Trubisky, we've decided you suck. We're going to Kenny Pickett. Now, if Kenny Pickett, you know, poops in his helmet, guess what? That's growing pains. We're just going to stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of those. And when you go back, let's say you go back. Let's say Kenny Pickett doesn't play well, and you go, okay, let's go back to Mitch Trubisky. Well, what is Mitch Trubisky like? Where is his mindset at? Hey, I'm at this another opportunity, but I'm playing for another team. Now I've become an independent contractor. I'm playing to put film out for whoever my next team is. The other thing you've basically told the league is, guess what? I'm a career backup. I've been given another opportunity, a reprieve, if you will, to be a starter again. And you know what it turns out? I've Peter principled this thing. I've reached the level of my incompetence, and here I am. That's what's going on. You know, that's what will be, when they go to Kenny Pickett, that's it. Even if they go back to Mitch Trubisky. So I think as a play caller, Mike, to come full circle, I think the bottom line is you have got to say to yourself, I'm going to exhaust all opportunities as head coach play caller. I've got to be better. And we knew there were going to be some growing pains along the way because we've got a new system, a new quarterback, a new, you know, offensive coordinator, new head coach, a new, like everything is new. So I think you give yourself that opportunity. Now, let me just say, if week 7 rolls around, you're having the same issues and you're, you know, you're 3-3 or you're, then it's time to reassess and reevaluate and decide, you know, to take a different path.
Look, there's nothing wrong with growing pains. There's nothing wrong with inexperience. I think we all assumed it. We just didn't assume it would look this bad. So my question is,
has it looked like
it's looked bad?
What has looked bad?
Super duper bad.
You tell me what's looked bad.
The indecision, as fans watching the clock tick down, as fans chanting the clock tick down,
and then ultimately
realizing, well, we didn't figure it out. Call a timeout.
Right. Okay. So,
don't take a timeout and take a delay and knock yourself out of field goal position. Okay. All that stuff.
So, what's looked bad is not necessarily the product on the field or the offense in general. Now, there were a bunch of drops and a bunch of penalties and all things that put you behind the chains, but they've operated fairly well. Like the incompletions and what went on last week were, you know, you can account for some of that stuff based on the mistakes and stuff. What's looked bad is the operation.
Mm-hmm.
But they were pretty good offensively. You would have to agree, 340 yards, 70% completion percentage. They've run the ball in two games in a row. They've run the ball well for over, what, 5 yards, 5.5 yards a carry. So that part, it's not like offensively they've been, like, anemic like they've been in the past. Now, they haven't scored a lot of points, right? 16 points in two straight games. They haven't scored enough points, but they haven't been as anemic as they've been in the past. What they've had is operational issues. And the operational issues are very easy to see on the surface and irritate you as a fan base and puts your offense behind the chains because of the penalties and everything.
Well, you know how in NASCAR you can pay to listen in on the chatter for a driver's team?
Sure.
Can you imagine if you had that opportunity as a Bronco fan? Everything that we've seen, I can only imagine what it sounds like in those headsets.
Right.
Man, I'd love to be able to listen. Because I bet you it's chaotic.
Right. Yeah.
And that is to be expected. But the problem I have with all that is you didn't see it coming. You didn't see the potential pitfalls. You got smart football people. I'm assuming these are smart football people. You got people who've been around the game for a long time. You got a smart general manager in George Payton.
Right.
No one saw the possibility of these information communication breakdowns coming.
Yeah.
And maybe even worse, there wasn't ways to prepare for it better. We have completely dissected, with the benefit of hindsight, how Nathaniel Hackett handled this preseason. As much as the players needed to go out and get some reps, man, these coaches.
Yeah.
These coaches needed more reps with the first team guys and actually trying to simulate what it was going to be once the games were for real, because they were just grossly ill-prepared. And I just kind of curious why smart people couldn't see that coming and couldn't plan for it better.
I think because you don't know.
Because I knew there would be growing pains.
But you don't know.
I didn't think it would be at this level.
And they certainly didn't either. And you don't know what you don't.
But that's my point. Why wouldn't they be able to know what it would be like? God bless you. Let it out, big fella.
This is
when geysers of blood.
No.
Snorting
nothing,
out both nostrils.
Nothing to do
then
with
you got
that.
A blood stash.
You can't hold your mud.
No,
you're a bleeder.
It has nothing to do with that. Usually it's when my finger finds its way up there.
Good point.
What is that?
What
nugget?
Is that? Is that a...
Am I digging for gold?
Man, that is quite a bat back there.
Yeah,
kid.
Right.
Gotta roast him.
I think you don't know what you don't know. You don't know until you know, right?
I think they should have known.
You know what?
I keep hearing Nathaniel Hackett. I've grown up around football, been around it forever.
Okay, so
done this, done that, done this, done
all
that.
All right, let me just tell you this.
Why weren't you prepared?
I have done radio for 20 some odd years. Right? Mm-hmm. I've done this at the national level. I've guest hosted and been on. I was on Mike and Mike, the number one show in America for 16 years. 16 years I did that show, right? I've done local radio. I've done national radio.
Yeah.
But
you're great. What's the point?
No. I've always sat in this chair. I've watched you operate, right? I've watched you operate. And I think I know how to operate in your chair. Until my butt sat in that chair when you had the cow valve put in your heart. And then I was like, this chair sucks.
Get me the hell out of here.
Right. It's so much more. It is so much more difficult. And you know what it is, right? I know what you do. I've seen you operate. I've witnessed it with you or Mike Greenberg or whoever I've done radio with. But until you sit in that chair, you know, but you don't know.
I was out for about 2 weeks. Did it ever get better?
Not really. Not. It was, you know, after the first week, I was like, there. It was like Nathaniel Hackett. Well, it must have been the crowd noise. I'll be all right. I'll be all right. Once we get home, I'll be all right. I wasn't all right.
By the end of the second week, you were like,
yeah, Coach Hackett, I feel your pain. I know what I know what you're going through right now.
All right, what's trending coming up right after the Rockies? How did they do yesterday? Here's Spilly to fill us in.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with what's trending right now.
Tim Tebow, lousy quarterback, great dude. So, Tim Tebow, Heisman Trophy winner.
You don't have to say lousy quarterback. You just say great dude.
All right, Tim Tebow.
Thank you so much. God bless y'all.
I think it's by me saying lousy quarterback, great dude, it just sort of accentuates the good dude part of it, as I'm about to tell you.
I don't think so.
You think it was just a gratuitous shot?
Right.
Maybe it was. Like, maybe it
man,
was.
Hey. You got to feel this
maybe
shirt.
Maybe it was. I'm looking at the tattoo as I say that. Biggest fluke in history of sports, and I got a tattoo to prove it.
Right.
Anyway, Tebow, Heisman Trophy winner.
Yes.
You know what he does with the Heisman Trophy every year? He auctions it off, and the winner gets to keep the trophy for a year.
Oh, really?
And over the course of the years, they've raised over $1 million for various charities.
That's pretty cool.
You know who has the trophy right now?
No clue.
Luke Bryan.
Oh, really?
Country music star.
Yeah. That's actually pretty cool.
That is a good idea.
Luke Bryant's a big... My granddaughter used to love Luke Bryant back in the day when she was young. She called him Luke Lyon.
Chad Powers. What could have been at Penn State if only he was eligible.
Right.
So if you haven't seen it, it's really funny. Eli Manning, working in cahoots with the Penn State coach, showed up in disguise for a Penn State walk-on tryout.
Yeah. It's part of their program. Apparently, they do it twice a year where guys get to walk on, show their wares, and, you know, they may sign a guy or two to walk on there and, you know, get the chance to eventually play and earn a scholarship if they're good enough. So it's kind of a cool program.
So he totally went under disguise, pretty good disguise.
Yeah.
Big, long 80s hair, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And he shows up, Chad Powers, trying out at Penn State. And he is throwing dimes, darts, footwork, everything. And one of the assistant coaches is like, kind of like that Chad Powers guy. We should sign that Chad Powers guy.
He's got great footwork. He's got a hose, man.
Like, so accurate.
Right.
Who is this guy?
Right.
And Eli was great. Peyton gets all the...
Oh, Eli's sneaky
funny
now.
Sneaky funny.
Eli, I've done a couple of events with Eli. Eli's sneaky funny.
Those Caesar ads with all the Mannings, they're gold.
Yeah, they are. They know what they're doing. And I guarantee you they're getting gold for those.
Oh,
I
mean, they're getting a lot of iron for that. A lot of iron.
Like it.
Check it out on YouTube. It's really funny. It's about 15 minutes, the whole thing start to finish. Good stuff with Eli Manning. Peyton makes an appearance in it as well. Micah Parsons, former Penn State star, throwing a little shade at Auburn and the SEC after Penn State went down south into the deep south.
Uh-huh.
And showed those folks down south how they play it up north. As Penn State blew out Auburn 41-12, and some of the Penn State fans in attendance broke out into SEC chants. And then Micah Parsons came out and said, "We just swept Auburn. I don't want to hear no more SEC talk." Man, I would love to see the SEC get their comeuppance at some point, but that ain't happening.
I'd love to see the SEC humbled, but that day isn't coming anytime soon.
No, they got, I mean, all the best players are there. When you got Alabama and
all the best players are there. The funds to pay these players are there, both legally NIL and illegally.
Yeah. The coaches.
Like, it's so sad at CU because they can't afford to pay the buyout, $11 million for Carl Durrell, that the AD has to come out and issue this lame statement apologizing and, hey, hang in there and still come on out to the games. I mean, it was lame. But what the letter was just, if you read between the lines, the whole letter was, hey, look, folks, sorry, we're too broke to buy out Carl Durrell and then hire the right kind of coach to turn this thing around. So you're kind of stuck with him right now. But hey, keep supporting the Buffs. Right. That's what that whole letter was.
But it's such a faulty premise. Is it Carl Durrell's fault that you've got FCS players at a Pac-12 school?
Well, who recruited him? Who couldn't keep him from entering the portal?
Dude, how are you going to keep that? You got an option to go to, let me just ask you this. You got an option to go to USC, UCLA, Oregon, and CU. Are you going to CU because, what, you like the Flatirons? That's your thing? You're going to school to be an artist? You know, and you just want to paint the Flatirons, that then maybe, yes, CU is the place for you. But if you're going to take it to the next level, I mean, you come on, you ain't going. CU ain't no. It's no longer what it was in the Mac days back in the 90s. It just
isn't. I get that, but they shouldn't be the worst program in Division I football. That's what they are right now. They're the Mark.
Okay.
Their margin of defeat for their first three games.
I understand
has
that.
Not happened. This right. Worse of a start has not happened since literally the first year right. of the program's existence in 1890.
You know what you're not getting when you buy a Prius, because that's what your budget is. You know what you're not getting? A Mercedes. You can't go buy a Prius and they deliver a Mercedes to you. Hey, there's nothing wrong with a Prius. Bottom line, when you can't spend it, you're, from a budgeting standpoint, you can't compete with any of those schools.
Can't.
And so, therefore, that's you get what you get. To pin it all on Carl Durrell and say, well, he's just not a good coach, I just think that's unfair.
Was Carl around when you were...
Yeah, he was with you guys. Yeah, he was. I mean, I didn't know Carl.
Yeah, you think you
got a little soft spot there.
It's about reality.
I'm
sensing a soft blind spot. That is what is a trending. Brock Heward, our Russell Wilson whisperer. What's up with all these hand signals? Is Russ tipping off teams? What's going on? Brock will give us the answer on that next.
Loosen up those joints and muscles. It's time for your 7:45 stretch. Here's Schlereth and Evans with the biggest story in Denver sports.
Don't get much bigger than Brock Heward of Brock and Salk on Seattle Sports 710. He's our Russell Wilson whisperer, and he joins us courtesy of Lead Sportsbook. Hello, whisperer.
Well, run then, Russell, run.
Yeah, why isn't he running? Only 3 carries for 5 yards in the first 2 games.
It's amazing. Yeah, if I'm whispering, that's what I'm actually not. I'm probably yelling, you know, like, what is going on? I mean, are you just trying to show and prove to everybody that you can play between the tackles? That, you know, in this evolution of, you know, this stage of your career, that you just want to distribute it and not take any of those hits? I don't know. I mean, I would certainly ask him the next time he's got his presser. I don't know when that is, Wednesday, Thursday. Hey, you know, it's just a little odd, Russell, that you're just not running this year. 3 carries, 4 yards. What, you know, are you just, is this an early season? Let's all get on the same page in our passing game, or is this what we're going to see? Because if this is what we're going to see, you're just taking away a huge part of his game, Mark.
Can I just ask this question as delicately as possible? Does he look fat to you?
Very delicate, by the way.
All right. Does he look chunky to you? Husky.
What did I say to you when I saw you in Studio Evan? Yeah. I said, man, you look good.
Yeah, little,
the body shape and stuff you're doing?
Yeah,
taking away inches?
Yeah.
I don't...
The people who listen.
Well, what is remarkable is to look at his combine picture. Everybody loves to show Tom Brady's combine picture, right? Look at Tom Brady with his shirt off. Oh, my gosh. Tom looks better now than he did in his combine picture 22 years ago. It's crazy to look at just Russell. And he's got people working on him, right? He's got his whole entourage. He's got his team. He's got everybody. I mean, he just doesn't look explosive. So I don't think he looks, and honestly, I don't think he looks any heavier. We had that conversation over and over and over in Seattle all the time, because in the offseason, he will put on some LBs and then he'll get himself into shape. He just doesn't look dynamic. I mean, he just doesn't look explosive. When he's leaving the pocket, when he's running, you know, the two or three or four times that we've seen that, are trying to escape. And that, to me, is a bit alarming. If I'm a Denver fan or, you know, signed up for this for the next 5 or 6 years, I mean, that was a huge asset and part of his game.
Yeah, you know, Brock, interestingly enough, Seattle, as I had them last week, was just matter of fact. You know, when we were talking about Russ, it was just like, yeah, well, he's just not the same athlete anymore.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things that I was like, kind of, oh, yeah, whatever. But, I mean, that was just matter of fact.
Trying to spin a tale, right?
No.
Not trying to present their side of the story.
No.
Not trying to help Brady Hitman Henderson.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It was just like, hey, this is fact. I would tell you, I would ask you this, though. And you know this, as we mature as athletes and as we grow older, I mean, this game takes it out of you, right? You lose athleticism. And everybody's criticism of Russ is, you know, he's taken a lot of sacks over the years and a lot of them are his fault and he needs to be better at distributing the ball. Yeah. Could you, I guess, basically look at what's going on right now and saying this is the maturation process, like he is understanding what he has to do and so he is force feeding this to himself?
I mean, you could make that case. What, 5 sacks? So I think still about 11th in the league as far as getting sacked, 2.5 a game right now. Do the math. I mean, still 40 plus times a game or for the season. Is that a number that you're comfortable with? Do you like, you know?
No.
Right. So I can't necessarily spin that tale either too much, Mark. You know, Warren Moon said this. I would go out and watch Warren Moon, and he would also play it into his 40s like Brady. I'd watch him throw and say, my gosh, he still throws one of the prettiest passes you've ever seen. Titus spiral and beautiful release. But he would tell you, it's the legs. The legs go, right? It wasn't his arm. It wasn't his brain. It wasn't any of that. It's just the bounce in his legs, the twitch in his legs, explosiveness in his legs. Those were the things that faded for Warren. Now, different guy, pocket passer, everything else. Russell's arm looks just the same to me. His arm's always going to be great. His mind is sharp. But, man, that level of just dynamic athleticism, I don't know where it went. Because even at the end of last year when you saw him, Mark, right, I think you called their final game. He still looked more explosive than this.
Correct.
He was still creating and extending plays and at least a threat. You've got to give a defense that threat. Any defensive coordinator, any of them, high school, college, pro, what do they fear? They fear the Kyler Murrays. They fear the Josh Allens. Mm-hmm. They fear even Herbert. They fear those guys that can create and extend and all of a sudden beat my blitz, even though you're not supposed to beat my blitz. He was still doing that at the end of last season through 2 games. We're not seeing that here in Denver.
Busy with Brock Huard of Brock and Talk from Seattle Sports 710 as he joins us each and every week on Tuesday.
So, Brock, let me ask you about operation, right? The operation of play calling to the quarterback. There's nothing more annoying or frustrating when you're a player, for me anyhow, as an offensive lineman, to run up to the line of scrimmage and not to be able to assess what's going on, where guys are lined up, and just snapping the ball, because I want that information because it helps me play, you know, better. It helps me make sure that I take the right sets and I'm doing the right things. So from an operational standpoint, it was shocking to me that the operation didn't get fixed from week 1 to week 2. What is going on? And like, from your experience as a quarterback, who's to blame when the operation is as bad as it's been here the first 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's both. I mean, both of them take some blame. You know, we'd wondered, Salk would ask Pete Carroll uncomfortably every Monday for years, like, why do you have to burn all these timeouts? I mean, do you just like burning timeouts? I think they led the league in burn timeouts because that operation was always chaotic. And I think we always put it on Pete. Well, through two games here, we're watching Geno operate, and he's not operating at a high level or anything, and I'm not bragging about Geno, but we don't see that issue in Seattle these first couple weeks. So it's a new staff. Kudos to Nathaniel Hackett and to their PR team to get into his ear and say, hey, you know what's better to do when we're screwing it up? Own it. Own it. Don't double down on a 64-yard field goal attempt like you did week one. He owned it yesterday, and so it's got to be more efficient. It's got to be better. There's too much stuff going on, right? First time with him and Russell. How many times have you all on that station said, hey, going to be a little bumpy start here now. First time for people doing this. First time head coach. First time D coordinator. First time special teams coach. First time communicating and operating this thing with Russell. So good on him yesterday to fully own it and say, we have got to get better, because what they have been doing is untenable.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Hey, Brock, man, we appreciate you, buddy. Have a great show today, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, boys. See ya.
All right, Brock Huard of Brock and Salk on Seattle Sports 710. He joins us every week, courtesy of Elite Sportsbook. Okay, so he doesn't look as explosive. Is that something that will come as he gets more reps, plays himself into shape? Game shape, game condition, just the toll of the season. Maybe, you know, he'll drop a few LBs and look a little bit more explosive as he gets more comfortable in the offense. I wonder if this guy has kind of put, there's so much focus on trying to turn him into a pocket passer and not just take off at the first sign of any kind of pressure. Work the pocket better, step up in the pocket, manipulate the pocket, deal from the pocket, that he is turning down opportunities. There was one time where he scrambled to his right near the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm yelling out loud, go. And then he stopped and he tried to throw it. You remember the play?
Yeah.
And I think right now mentally, he's thinking too much. And rather than just going out there and playing, he's trying to get on the same page with Nathaniel Hackett. The offense is probably a little bit different than what he was running in Seattle all those years. Plus, he's got this maybe self-imposed idea stylistically. I need to change a little bit how I'm trying to play.
Mm.
I think that can all add up to a guy who is thinking too much instead of just playing.
No, I think that's fair, Mike. I think that's probably fair. But it's also understandable. Understandable in that this offense is a derivative of what you've operated your whole life. I mean, I go back to, you know, Daryl Bevel, his first coordinator in Seattle, West Coast guy. Brian Schottenheimer, West Coast guy. Last year, Shane Waldron comes over from the Rams, West Coast guy. Obviously, you know, Nathaniel Hackett, West Coast guy. But obviously, within that, every guy has a, you know, kind of a different way they want to call, different nuance to each call, different routes and route combinations based upon, you know, how they feel like they want to attack something. So there's always some nuanced aspect of that, and that's, you know, that takes time. Another reason that you know, most of the people were like, hey, man, you need some time in the preseason actually playing these games. And so I think the thing that resonated with me right there, what Brock said, that's a bit of a concern, is he said this was an issue in Seattle, burning timeouts and the operation. And if it was over the years, if it was a operational issue with Bevel, with Schottenheimer, with Waldron, and you transfer over here and it's a operational issue with Hackett, then that points to it being Russ's issue, not necessarily the guys calling the play issue. Did you pick up on that too?
But my response to that is how is it an issue, a communication issue with Russ? He's there in the huddle, he's listening into his helmet, and the call comes in.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he's got a direct link to be able to talk back to Nathaniel Hackett and start to argue and say, what about this, what about that? The play is the play. So why is it bogging down?
Let me just, are you getting the play and then you're thinking about the play and then you're calling the play and then you're realizing as you're breaking the huddle that maybe you called it out of the wrong formation. So you're like, oh shoot, wait a minute, bring this tight end back over here, get over here. No, you know, I don't know. I've never had the thing in my ear. I was just like, what, you know, what? Or I was just standing by Gary Zimmerman as Gary Zimmerman was like, John, what do we got? What do we got? What do we got? So John would have to tell Gary what the play was first before John, you know, called the play in the huddle. And then we'd break the huddle and Gary would all walk up the line of scrimmage the whole way going, Stink, what do we got? What do we got? Stink, what do we got? What do we got? What do we got? Then I'd be like, Gary, let me see what defense they're in. I'll tell you what to do.
So that's you got Gary Zimmerman into the Hall of Fame.
Yes. No, I just told
you. You won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I just told Gary.
By making the helicopter play a reality. And then you got Gary into the Hall of Fame.
I just told Gary what to do on every play.
Ah.
And then Gary would go out and block.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Mark Schlereth.
Gary would go out and block three people and just, he was like a whirling dervish and he was 10 times better. I mean, 100 times better. No, Gary just wanted that affirmation. He just wanted to be, he wanted to be on the same page. And so I'd always, that's why it's hard to get the playing late. Like when you're scrambling up there, like we liked, especially as offensive linemen, I want to saunter up to the line of scrimmage. I want to take in information. I want to see where guys are lined up. And sometimes a guy just can be literally a foot off his spot. And you're like, he shouldn't be there.
Okay, so.
And then you start to talk. Again, you start to manage that situation going, hey, man, whoa. Well, watch out. This is what's good. Look at what, watch out. We're going to get rotation down here. We're going to get, like, you see that stuff.
So the part of Russ's helmet turns off at 15 seconds left on the shot, on correct. The shot clock, on the play clock.
Mm.
So that's, it's off. So whatever communication's been handed down to him goes away with 15 seconds left on the play clock.
Correct.
So if the communication breakdown is happening with Russ, as Brock Huard implied there, make it simple for me and everyone else. What's happening after that 15-second threshold is reached?
Right. Well,
what's happening?
You break the huddle. You walk up there. If a guy's not in the right spot, you got to get him in the right spot. Right? Now, all of a sudden, there's 10 seconds. You go into a cadence, and if you've got a situation where you can kill the play and change it from one to the other, like I was doing the San Francisco game, and basically, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo's out there, and you hear him go, Oscar, Oscar, Oscar. That just means we're going to flip the play from, you know, it was going left or right, now we're going to go back to the opposite side, right? So they'll get a look that they like. They're like, hey, we want to run it into kind of a bubble or whatever. We want to run it into a three technique. Whatever we like this play, the way we like to run it, if we get a look that's opposite of what we like, now we're going to flip it. So all of a sudden, you break the huddle, right? You get the play in. Maybe you get the play in late. Goes off at 15 seconds. You call the play. Now you're walking up the huddle, and there's 9 seconds left. Right? So now you're going, hey, we got to hurry up. And now all of a sudden, uh-oh, we got to go opposite. Oscar, Oscar. You know, over. Whatever your O word of choice is.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the process gets hurried up. And then... And you want to give your players enough time to redirect protection or to make another call or re-identify the mic. And now, and like, that's what happens. So I know a lot of coaches that want to play in at about 24 seconds. So you can break the huddle and walk
and
up.
And still talk to them.
Right. As you're walking up, you're like, okay, now I got 10 seconds to go. Hey, man, I think they're in this. Let's think about this, right? And you're still talking.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.